We want to start this recording by saying thank you to our wonderful, awesome patrons listening right now.
Thank you so much. You know who you are. You know who you are.
Without your support, we wouldn't be able to do our first ever long form review. And we are talking about what manga today, Jordan?
Oh, we're talking about Gravity Boys.
Yes, a series that's too long and some might say too wild to cover in a normal episode.
Too wild for Shonen Jump, you know?
All-time record for Jordan having to write the word butt in a plot summary.
There were a lot of butts. I left out the amount of butts in here, but keep in mind, we'll get into it. There was a ton of butts, but it's also really tough to write the plot summary for this because it's really difficult to figure out what is and what isn't plot relevant.
Right? This series is just the series that keeps giving.
Shit just keeps coming back.
Oh, yeah, we're going to definitely talk about that. But for the record, we are talking about volumes 3 and 4, which is chapter 17 to 34.
Yes, here we go. Fucking a gravity time. Okay.
A gravity.
A gravity.
Boy. Lay it on us with the plot summary, my friend.
I'll lay it on you, baby. Baba and Geralt have been turned into grass-living scumbags since being on the space pirate ship. While the rest of the group tries to figure out how to get the time machine parts, Grizzle yells at them until they're back to normal, though, so, like, don't worry about it. Unless it becomes relevant later, I have no idea. Geralt then starts catfishing a girl named Monica, tricking her into thinking that he's a girl by using Chris's picture. Everyone thinks Chris is a girl. Monica reluctantly has to cut it off because she is actually a super fucking hot cop and is on his trail anyway, and she's got business with them apparently. To make money, Chris tries streaming and becomes one of the top streamers in the universe, only quitting when Grizzlo donates enough bits to get him to wear a maid outfit.
Yeah, that was something.
That was something. Luo defeats some bounty hunters pursuing the Agrav boys and reveals that he only follows Grizzlo because it's just really funny how fucking stupid Grizzlo is. Arsh and Baba have a trivia duel over who knows more creepily in-depth information about Geralt. And then Geralt shows up to imply that he read Arsh's book, which makes Arsh very fucking happy. Then the Agrav boys just hanging out with HB, but this HB is actually an imposter. He's got like a pointy head instead of a rounded head. Real HB is super fucking angry about this because, like, that's his coffee that he's drinking.
Yeah, this guy doesn't even have a sixth hand.
No!
He barely has a third hand.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, the HB then defeats like the imposter, but finds out that the gang is hanging out with a different imposter with like an octagonal head. Monica appears finally, thinking that Chris is Geralt because they use this picture, and also is her best friend and a girl. She tries to take a bath with him, but then a robot named Julian, which is built by Geralt and Baba and just has Geralt and Baba inside of it, tries to crash the moment. But Monica never really notices that anything is up, and then she's gotta leave. Popcorn David.
The Agrav boys then make a stew out of mushrooms, which knocks them all out, and they have a collective flashback when they are back in middle school.
Oh, yeah.
There was a war between the returning students and the transferring students, but Baba got them to agree on a new way to solve the conflict, shoving broccoli up each other's butts.
Modern problems require modern solutions.
Yes. Just a lot of things you can broccoli-eve about this.
Oh, no, that was a Dave Chappelle quote. Fuck. All right, keep going, David.
Ah, oh, poor, he's canceled. They have an entire shonen battle arc and they wake up. After coming to a senses, Chris starts freaking out because they've been completely unproductive, so the team decides to be serious. They start getting things done, but feel extremely weird about the lack of dumb hijinks and go back to being stupid. HB then gives them a points card based on how entertaining they are that they can use to get a round trip to Alista, but it tricks Chris into using it to get a Twitch collab with his favorite streamer, and he gets a part-time job on Alista to pay him back, only to discover that the rest of the gang did something similar. Everyone starts talking about their favorite show, which only Grizzlo has never seen. Then the Agrav boys get an orphaned otter as a pet. And definitely there's a lot of strange details that Jordan laid out omitted, but we will leave that to you, the listener, to read. Just, we didn't even talk about the gacha machine.
There is so much shit in this manga. Like, it's just like, as I mentioned, like before the plot summary, this is a gag manga. And usually in gag mangas, they make a gag and then it's like, oh, don't worry about it. That was just a stupid gag. But then with the Gravity Boys, they'll make a stupid gag. And then like 3 chapters later, they'll reference that exact gag and then it'll be plot relevant.
right? It's ridiculous. But before we dive into talking about the series, let's just do a quick little recap on the characters. I thought we'll just talk about how they've changed in these latest chapters. Let's get in with Saga. So he has really upped his level of broing out and just covering for his boys.
Oh, yeah.
When that sexy space cop comes, he pretends to he just pretends to be dating Chris.
Yeah. Like, he so completely that goes along with it. Saga's like a fucking bro. Like, Saga's
just a legend, man.
He's a complete Toho legend. But I also like in the broccoli arc, the broccoli butt arc, he apparently is like, so he's from Japan and he got to the school, which is apparently in America. He rode a yacht across the Pacific Ocean, took a bus, jumped on like a weird future, and then like a weird panda toy thing, and then finally got on a horse and just crashed the school opening on a horse.
God, what a fucking, I fucking love that.
Fucking kick ass. And we find out that he was an orphan. Chris is also an orphan, but Saga grew up piloting illegal racing circuits, you know, like in the yeah, underground, much like Anakin Skywalker.
Well, I'm sure that's what it was making.
It might have been. I feel like it's making fun of a ton of things and also just being so ridiculous. It could just be its own ridiculous thing. I have no idea.
Not even the author knows.
No.
To move on to the next character, Chris. Jordan, what are your thoughts on him?
Chris is great. Chris is the straight man. He actually refers to himself as the straight man in this one.
I think Chris is like low-key the main character of this manga.
He might be. He's like the one that the audience could typically most relate to.
Do you think Chris would be voiced by a man or a woman if they had made an anime of this?
Ooh. I think he would be voiced by a woman because Chris is also young enough where I think you can make the argument where it's like, oh, you know, all kids in American anime.
Chris is definitely post-pubescent. He's like 17 years old.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I actually don't know.
I think it's always a coward's way out where they make these effeminate characters voiced by a woman.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you're a cis man, you should find, you know, a cis man that can voice it, you know?
Yeah, get Steve Bloom. He could do it.
Steve Bloom, as we talked about, the only man who voiced Orochimaru in an adaption of Naruto. Because he was the only one who could do it. Steve Bloom is going to voice Chris.
Steve Bloom is going to voice every single character. It's yes, all going to be Steve Bloom talking to Steve Bloom talking to Steve Bloom. There are like a billion anime adaptations that are just that. Watch Digimon Tamers again. You don't believe me? He voices like half the fucking cast in Digimon Tamers.
He does. And so Chris is a streamer, makes a ton of money, and gives it all up because the fame just gets to him.
Fame just gets to him. I also do like how he was like kind of uncomfortable with it, and it was a little bit of a fluke, but then like HB starts needling him and he reveals, oh my god, I did love it. I loved it so much. Ah, I want to be in the spotlight again. And then he becomes like so unbelievably fucking famous.
He's like the Pokemon.
Yeah, he's the Pokimane. The Pokimane. Did you say the Pokiman?
Like, I don't actually know how her name is said.
It's Pokimane. Yeah, no, he becomes Pokimane. Oh, man.
Yes. Next up, we have Geralt. He is best.
Did you say his name's Geralt?
Geralt.
Haven't you ever played The Witcher? His name's Geralt.
Oh. Next up, we have Geralt. He's BFFs with a cop.
I'd say he's the man.
I feel like he actually doesn't do a ton. He has this weird thing where he goes training in the woods for a week and then he gets super swole and grows a beard and a bunch of tattoos that all disappear.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And they're like, huh, that was weird.
He's got like an ocarina.
And the weird thing is like, you think they're never going to bring it up again. And then they mention it like three chapters later. Like, it was super weird. You got like super buff in the woods like a week ago.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, that was strange.
So strange how they will bring back these arbitrary jokes.
Yeah, no, and I also, they solve like all of these fucking issues but at the end where they're just like, oh, he came back and then like within a day he was better. Which,
yep,
in a lesser manga, I'd be annoyed at, but like, it's funny when they do it. It's like a running joke.
Right? But yeah, I don't think much else happens to him.
He doesn't really do things, but people talk about him. He's very relevant to the events that occur, but like he himself is frequently not actually the one doing things. Like Baba and Arsh straight up have like this whole fucking game show where they're just talking about really weird things that they know about Geralt.
And it's great.
It's pretty good.
Speaking of, do you want to tell us a little bit about Baba?
Whoa, okay. So Baba had some interesting fucking chapters.
Baba is always going to have interesting chapters.
Yeah. So basically, when they have the flashback, Saga and Chris reveal how they met Baba. And Baba was like this mysterious, like, underworld figure. But actually, it turns out that he was just like, he's a pervert who made the, he made the porn search site better. Mm-hmm. And also, he helped create like a pact between the transfer students and the returning transferphobic students, I believe, proper term, mm-hmm. where instead of fighting, they just shove broccoli up each other's butts. So fucking weird and kind of great. Like, but it's also like, if you read through this series, there are a bunch of moments, and this is also a thing that happens in anime, where people get their asses kicked and then you just see them sitting there with their asses up and then something's just jammed in their butt.
Yeah.
Like, it happens earlier too. It's almost like foreshadowing. It's crazy. I really love those chapters.
Right?
They're fighting off against, like, the big evil boss guy who's, like, a third year. And he's just got this massive fucking broccoli stalk. He's like, I'm gonna shove this up your ass. And when they defeat him, he's like, oh, no, I was just a spy from another nation here to sow unrest. What have I gotten myself into? Such a good fucking...
Yeah. And then I just love how when they get ultra serious, he drops a stag beetle and he's like, didn't even pinch my wiener.
Yeah, no, he's just like, he does this like a bunch.
He's definitely the most cartoonish character.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's great. He's just like surprised that stupid gag shit isn't happening to him. And he's disappointed by it. He's like, oh, man.
But at the end of that chapter, everything's normal. And the stag beetle does grab
his... Oh, does it? I think I missed that little part. I had to go back and read.
And like the splash page. They're like, oh, now we're all back to normal. Oh, grabs his crotch. And then the next character is, of course, Higher Being. He is just really a member of the gang now. He is the fifth A-Grab boy.
I love when Chris and Saga just walk in the room and they're like, huh, something's weird here. But it's not that the Higher Being is there. They don't realize that it's a different Higher Being. Turns out the HB just like hangs out with them and does all this stuff with them. He's got like his own little special coffee that they've made for him.
Yeah, he's just part of the gang, man.
Really is just like the fifth A gravity boy. He really is.
Yeah, and I also love how he's an alcoholic. There's the imposter Higher Being. He just goes drinking.
Yeah.
And like there's so many shots of him at the bar being depressed.
Yeah. They bring it back too. Like just whenever he's upset, he's at the bar.
Yeah. And he's definitely drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
There is no censorship. It is just straight up, he is drinking his problems.
I mean, at this point, if they start now, it's kind of like, why did you start now? Basically.
Exactly.
There's too much stuff.
And then finally, Jordan, why don't you tell us about Monica?
Monica is the girl that...
Only good cop ever to exist.
Only good cop. She is the girl that Geralt gets a huge crush on and catfishes. She has very large boobs, which is actually plot relevant. Very relevant to how they treat her, because that's... The manga is about horny teenagers. And yeah, she's kind of she's kind of a big titty space cop kitty, as David wrote here. And when Saga... Because they all pretended to be girls. And when Saga is a guy... He's just like, yeah, I wanted to try something out. And she's totally cool with it. So right on, Monica.
Yep.
Trans rights. Monica says trans rights.
Trans rights. Yeah. All right. And then Jordan, unlike trans rights, we have to talk about things that the series did not do as well as it mm-hmm. did the first two volumes. What were some things that stood out to you that it just didn't do as well in the first two volumes as it did in these two?
I'm noticing a lot of panels that are much more like, oh, it's just a simple gradient. Here's the characters' heads, and then there's like a speech bubble there, or just a completely black panel. You know, it kind of implies, oh, the author or artist wasn't able to really, or chose not to put as much effort into drawing those panels.
Yeah.
I don't think I had quite as many just like wildly laugh out loud moments here as I had in the first couple volumes.
Yeah. I also think, oh my God, there's so much text. Holy shit. That was a long 17 chapters.
It was.
It just needs to tone down the sheer volume of text it's trying to put in every page. And then I also felt like it kind of wanted to do a real plot, and then it didn't, and then it did. And it's just like, you got to pick a lane, buddy. Like, do you want the time machine thing? Do you want the catfishing thing to all be real plots or not? Because you've got, like, as we'll talk about the positives, you've got really good continuity. So you can't just, like, forget about things arbitrarily like you can if you were a pure gag manga.
But I also kind of feel like that's the series' strength. You know, it just completely keeps you guessing. You have no idea what's going to come back. You have no idea what's going to be relevant. It keeps it kind of fresh. It's like, I could just brush over and ignore this part, but it might come back. So I better fucking read it.
Yeah, all right. Well, then on that note, shall we go into the positives?
Yeah.
So, Jordan, what were some things that you thought really it did better in these two volumes? Jordan's like, where do I begin?
I think that we're getting more backstory, and that's pretty good.
Talk about backstory, the fucking broccoli in people's asses.
More like backside story.
West backside story. It's just twerking for 2 hours, directed by Steven Spielberg.
Backside story. Oh my god, that was fucking ridiculous. That whole thing, the way it's kind of expanding these characters' lives in, like, the world is very interesting. Like, yeah, fuck it. Chris is a fucking huge streamer and it does matter. But I also liked some of the smaller moments, like when Saga shows up and sees Lita, they're kind of flirting a little, which, like, in the last two volumes, they had, like, kind of a little moment, and that's still going. It's kind of nice.
It is very cute.
Yeah.
I also think that they've really spent a lot of time really developing the other ship's crew as well,
yeah. Where
they were kind of on the wayside, and now it really feels like with the trivia challenge, the backstory and the conversations, I very much appreciate that he realizes he has more than just a gravity voice for when it comes to actually characters we can care about.
Yeah, and I also thought it was really funny how Luo literally just hangs around Grislo because it's a complete fuck up and he thinks it's funny.
Yeah, it's great.
I liked that a lot.
I also am a big sucker for all those, whoa, that's something crazy that happened off screen jokes.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's always funny. You're like, oh, that was so funny how, like, he lost all his muscle mass, or it's like, they're just like talking about random. It's like, it was crazy how, you know, Baba, like, managed to shove, like, 3 bookcases up his ass.
Oh, yeah, they did this one.
That's not what they said, but they just say shit like that for no reason, just at, like, the start of the chapter.
They were doing this whole thing where, like, whoa, Baba, I didn't think a worm could do that kind of thing to someone's butt. But yeah, that was crazy. Wow. And then, like, everybody is like, man, Baba, that was nuts last night.
Classic Baba.
Classic Baba. Wow. You really outdid yourself this time, Baba.
Yeah, it's just such a stupid form of joke that's just always funny.
Yeah.
And the continuity, man, this is like, why is the continuity so strong in this series?
I know. It's like, it's just like doing random shit, but because it keeps the random shit relevant, it isn't like monkey cheese bullshit random, you know?
Yeah. You'll see a very nice piece of continuity come up in the last 3 volumes.
I'm excited. I also liked where they were all really serious, and then when they stopped being serious, they were like, oh yeah, I was wearing this weird shirt and hoping somebody would notice. Well, I made my glasses into udon noodles and hope somebody would notice, and nobody did. And then Saga's just like, and then I found a really important part for the time machine, and I was just waiting for someone to notice. They were like, fuck, Saga, no, you should have fucking told us that.
Yeah. Fuck, this series is great.
Yeah, it is.
Why would they cancel something so good?
I know.
I also think that the Jeopardy parody was by far the best skit. That was just so stupid and funny.
It was so fucking dumb. I loved it. Oh, man. Yeah, Arsh is just so clearly crushing super fucking hard.
Oh, I mean, who wouldn't? What a legend.
The author is basically doing everything he can to tell us, without explicitly having a character say it, that Arsh is very gay.
Everyone is bisexual in the series, except for Chris.
Yeah.
Chris is the straightest character in the series, we talked about last time.
Yes, basically. Although I will say, when Sokka shows up in that flashback chapter, he seems kind of into him. And like, the most romantic chemistry is between Chris and Saga. They just pretend to be in a relationship, David. They're just pretending, you know? What if we were boyfriends just as a joke, you know?
Oh, ha ha ha.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
All right, but miscellaneous thought time, Jordan. What is something that stands out to you as some miscellaneous thoughts?
So Chris is supposed to be American, huh?
Yeah. Big, strong American.
Big, strong American. It was really funny how they were in school and Baba's just like, oh, just call me Baba because my real name is complicated. And he's just like, oh, calling an upperclassman by their nickname. That's so anxiety inducing. And it's like, it's not a thing in America.
Yeah. Well, at least the author knew what was it? North Dakota?
Yeah, he was from North Dakota.
What a fucking random choice.
I know.
What if North Dakota is just full of e-boys?
Oh, it might be. But to be fair, this manga takes place like 100 years in the future. Damn. So maybe everything changes.
That's fair.
By the way, I thought that if they had made a live action adaption during the flashback, it would be like Wet Hot American Summer, where they have like younger people played like the middle schoolers, except Baba is played by his adult actor.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was kind of the joke they were getting at with Baba.
That would be great.
Because they're all 13, but Baba is just still super huge and buff.
He's like a 6'4", 13-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty good.
The guys being dudes level of this manga is still off the charts. I feel they just continue to make it more guys being dudes than I ever thought possible.
So much. But there is also like a lot of stuff about gender and stuff like that in a way that doesn't feel like, oh, you're going to be a girl or whatever. It's like there's a lot of jokes and little references about switching gender and stuff, and not in like a mean-spirited kind of way, it feels like.
Yeah, the series is strangely progressive.
It's progressive, but it also feels like, to the extent where this manga feels like it's almost about that in a lot of ways, like subtextually.
And then Jordan, though, out of 4 Gravity Boys, how would you rate these 2 volumes?
So I don't know if I liked it as much as the first 2 volumes, which I think I rated a 3, but it also felt weird to rate it anything under a 3. So like,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know, maybe like a 2.75 Gravity Boys. It's just like Chris and Geralt, and then just like Baba's missing like his left leg.
His left butt cheek.
Yeah, his left butt cheek.
Yes, I think that's completely fair. I would feel about the same. I think it was still a lot of fun, but definitely so much fucking text in all these goddamn chapters.
I think we're in agreement that regardless of how many boys we rate this, that this definitely has not read like a flop.
No.
No, like I would at this point call it not a flop.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the strong. Actually, I guess that is valid to put on our series, the cover.
Yeah, so we covered it. And the only reason it's not one episode is just because it's so fucking long.
Yeah, this would have been a very difficult series to read.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine writing the plot summary for the whole fucking thing. Holy shit.
And then the Jordan on the note of the plot. So what do you think is going to happen in the final 3 volumes?
So I think that the time that Geralt spent in the wilderness becoming a massive buff Legend of Zelda character will come back. I think that that's going to be something that returns. I'm not sure how, but it will. My next one is when Monica leaves, they're all like, we're going to tell Monica the truth when she comes back. And then the last one is the Fate higher being with like the weird geometric head. He's going to come back and he's going to want revenge.
Oh my.
Most of my guesses are just which of the
which callbacks they're going to have.
Which like random gag is going to be relevant as the plot goes on.
That's fair to me. And Jordan, I also want to say thank you so much for being a wonderful co-host and helping with editing.
Of course, David. Thank you. And a wonderful co-host and for editing.
Oh, man. You can find us on Twitter at Shonen Flopcast and our website, ShonenFlop.com. We're also on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, wherever else you get your podcast. And thank you, Shannon, for the awesome cover art. You can find her online at Illuminati. And once again, thank you to all of our absolutely fantastic patrons. We would not have been able to make this episode without your support.
Thank you.
All right. Keep on grabbing, grabbers.
Keep on a gravity boy. Bye.